Hello, and welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 80. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we've been giving our Wii a workout in terms of using Netflix.
Our poor Wii. I haven't been wanting to play a lot of games right now. It's like movie watching time. I don't know why. Speaking of watching movies, I guess we've been re-watching the Avatar The Last Airbender series. We've made it all the way into chapter or
three.
Book three. Second or third episode of book three. Which leads us into, for those of you who like the series and haven't heard, which I think most people probably have, is that The Last Airbender has a new series coming, Legend of Korra, which isn't slated till release for next year. And we don't know when next year. It's just 2012. It could be January, it could be December. We don't know. But if you head over, I think on Nickelodeon they have the trailer there available, and a lot more websites have the official trailer available as well. It's not the little person with the handheld video camera at the Comic-Con convention, you know, putting it at the screen, and you're like, please hold still, I can't see.
Invest in a tripod, please.
Yes. But then it's obvious that they're recording something they shouldn't. But it's at the point where conventions and stuff with technology being the way it is, unless you know, have a thing where you confiscate everybody's phone and electronic device at the door, it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it makes much of a difference anyways, you know, because, you know, the official one gets released, like, a few hours after the, you know, launch at the... Yeah, at the convention, so...
I think a lot of it has to do with the quality they want to maintain with their press material. Mm-hmm. Because if you're doing some guy's crappy handycam version, then it doesn't give a very good image of the production capability of the crew. Where if you do the official... If they, you ask them to use the official trailer release, they at least controlled the production of that trailer and can make it look better.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, anywho, we're talking about Avatar The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra.
Korra.
I think I keep doing that wrong. I'm just going to stop saying it.
You keep adding extra letters that aren't there.
Korra. Legend of Korra.
Which, following the cycle of the Avatar,
reincarnation.
This is a water tribe, and it's a female water tribe bender. She's an owl bender. And it's supposedly set about 70 years after Avatar The Last Airbender, where there's not the war anymore with the Fire Nation. Instead, we have people who don't like other people who can bend. They don't like the idea of bending in general and rather see bending disappear than anybody use it.
Well, she's a really cool animal. It looks like they replaced basically Appa with a polar bear dog?
Polar bear dog.
Named Naga.
And it's mostly dog. You can see the polar bear a bit in the face and the sheer size.
Yes, because she can ride him.
Well, the front legs are bear legs and the back legs are canine legs.
Yeah.
Then it has like puppy ears. So.
I see this being very easily made into stuffed animals.
Plushies, yeah. Yeah, be a cute plushie.
Kuiper wants an Appa plushie.
Why don't they make them?
They make them. Somewhere.
Someone has done it. But yeah, I kind of wish I didn't read some of the stuff that's on this website that we're on. Was it Collider.com, which talks a little bit more about the background of what's going to be happening in the series. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have read it. I kind of wanted to know, I guess, without knowing.
Eh. I know that the series is coming out. I'm going to keep myself mostly in the dark about it. Now, what I do know is that basically she learns her airbending from a Katara's child.
Yeah, it's the last thing that she apparently needs to learn as the Avatar. And she is a pretty beefy Avatar.
Well, in her defense, she probably got brought up as correctly as the Avatar, versus Aang, who didn't really get the chance. He kind of got thrown into the whole Avatar business.
Yeah. I just mean, she has some muscle on her. She can knock your lights out.
Well, as opposed to, you know, like, burning you.
Freeze, burn.
Blow you away, crush you.
Who's the Avatar?
It's expected. But it looks fun. I'm excited. I'm going to try not to follow too closely, because when I start following stuff too closely, it makes me much more anxious. And it's, you know, a year away. So it's best just not to think about it, because it'll be here sooner.
Just forget about it for a while.
Yeah, we'll probably touch base again on it in maybe 3 or 4 months. I mean, this year is halfway over.
Yeah.
It is?
In the meantime, we'll just watch The Last Airbender, the series. Not that horrible movie.
So I attempted to watch the horrible movie just to see how horrible it is.
No. Encouraging the Shyamalan.
You should only watch the horrible movie with a riff track in the background.
I would do it myself. It's streaming now on Netflix. That's the only reason why I kind of want to watch it, because it's streaming and it's available and it's 1 star.
Anyway, since we're talking about animated type shows, I touched lightly on Trigun Badlands Rumble, but you two weren't able to join me for that episode. So, thoughts, opinions?
I thought it was good.
Why did you think it was good?
It kept a lot of the spirit of Trigun in there. It was, you know, it's another of those interesting kind of anime movies where they have to set it in the middle of the series because otherwise things that happen towards the end remove certain characters from play, I will say. Similar to the way, you know, Bebop is in its movie.
Yeah, it's like getting an episode of the TV series thrust somewhere in, and they had much bigger production time and a longer running time.
Yeah. Well, they had some stuff in there that if I went back and watched the series now, you could actually figure out exactly where it was, basically. Because they made reference to, like, going to another city at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought they talked about coming from somewhere, so...
They mentioned something about the Dodongo brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Which right. I cannot, you know, it's like been too long since I watched the series to remember who they are.
Well, I started to rewatch it, and then one of my other friends like, "Hey, did you know the Avengers cartoon series is fully streaming?" I'm like, "No, I did not know that." So I decided to start watching something I hadn't seen and something I'd had seen before. Yeah, I couldn't find the Dongo Brothers on there either when I looked.
They might be a minor character in there, and it's been a while since I've watched Trigun. It was one of the first DVD series I got way back in the day, the complete edition. I hear people now complain, "Oh, the whole series is $40. It's so expensive."
That's dirt cheap.
Yeah, considering I spent over $100. And that was the normal price. If you could get something any cheaper than that, that was special. Because usually everything was $100 on up. But it's still cheaper than buying all the individual VHS tapes.
Well, it used to be, you know, you have a 12 series for one season in a regular show. So Trigun was probably about 2 seasons. You're paying about four episodes on a disc when I started buying anime. You're paying about $20 per disc. So you need to get 4 discs. So at minimum, if you're not doing any special things with collect boxes to put it all in, you're spending $80 if you're lucky on a 1 season.
Yeah, and this is before they started doing the 12 and 13 episode season. So it's 26. So it's on 8 discs.
Yeah.
Sweetie. Because they started doing only 3 episodes per disc.
I still think the biggest chip one was when you guys first got Fooly Cooly and it was 2 episodes a disc and it was a 6-episode series.
Yes.
That seemed a bit expensive.
And you couldn't get it any cheaper than $25 to $30. Even on Amazon.
That was per disc, right?
Yeah.
So people who are collecting anime now and complain about the price, shut it.
Yeah. And even more, I'm like, $40 for an entire series? Score! I mean, it doesn't hurt me. The only time I think some kind of cringe is on Blu-ray. And I'm just like, I don't know yet.
Well, that's mainly because here's the problem with if they were to make the prices of Blu-ray cheaper here, because they're actually priced the same in Japan as they are here. Mm-hmm. Is if they were priced cheaper here, people in Japan would buy them here and import them. Since we're in the same region.
Yeah, I think we've had this discussion before. And we've gotten way off topic again.
We're still talking about anime.
Let's go back to the movie. I thought the movie was pretty good. The animation was nice, crisp and clean. The parts where they did use computer animation didn't jar horribly with the rest of it. The English voice cast, I think, did a pretty good job.
A lot of them were the same as the original, weren't they?
Yeah, I think Millie was different. Or if it was the same person, she was just doing her voice a little bit differently to me. She didn't sound quite the same. But I was going to say something, and I totally lost my train of thought.
So you were talking about voice actors, Millie,
yeah.
Different voice.
No,
I think Wolfwood was supposedly a different voice actor in this one.
Really? Sounds the same to me.
That's what I thought I heard somebody say, because I know one of them was different. I thought it was Wolfwood. And if you really want to have the entire movie ruined for you, just go to Wikipedia and read the entire plot entry, because it looks like they have the entire damn thing there.
Yeah.
Yep.
The article's plot summary is considered too long or excessively detailed.
Excessively detailed is what I'm going to say for a summary.
Yeah.
Well, technically, the thing does not say plot summary, it just simply says plot. So they are fulfilling the heading.
That is true. I can't fault that.
Yeah. At least it didn't make me feel disappointed. Like, the Cowboy Bebop movie sometimes makes me feel sad. Like, it's this really overblown episode that just doesn't seem to jive with the rest of the way the series ran. And it's just like, what was the point, sort of thing. And then there's a few other, I think, anime movies that come out after but take place during the middle of the series and all that stuff. They just feel, like, disconnected. It's just basically, let's just make an extra long episode. At least it didn't feel completely like that. Just like, oh, let's just have an extra long episode. I guess sometimes, though, there's a bit of a disjointment if you haven't watched the series because, like Proteus said, some characters are there still. And other things haven't happened yet. Oh, I guess my thing was, is the world felt completely different to me than what it did in the anime series.
Did just me, or did these people have a lot more modifications to them?
Okay, that...
Well, first there was a lot more just general people around.
Yeah, that's what surprised me the most, is just seeing how many people there were there. Because I always got the impression that... It's a very vast desert world. There is vast amounts of, you know, distance between places, and most places are dunk and poor even when they are in a metropolis area. It's still not the greatest place to be. But the plants help with that.
Yeah.
This one is kind of like, made it seem like traveling from place to place, especially if the vehicle wasn't that bad, because with the sand steamer in the opening shot, there's a whole caravan of vehicles following. And I'm like, seriously, there's that much stuff there? I always got the impression that, especially when they're riding on the bus across the desert when they first encounter Wolfwood in the TV series, that vehicles are far and few in between, other than the sand steamer. And then who could afford to go on the sand steamer other than really rich people?
What do you have to do with all the fact that they were all bounty hunters?
Yeah, I'm just like, it's because they're all
bounty
hunters?
That's the reason that I had given, is that they were people that... What money they have, they invest in their transportation because they have to chase down criminals.
They have to go from city to city really quickly, so they actually invest in the rare vehicles that are in existence.
Yeah, it just makes it seem less rare.
But the technology seemed a lot more advanced in the series, in the movie than it did in the series. Because I remember in the series, it was like any technology was lost technology. And here it seemed to be kind of a dime a dozen.
Yeah, especially like with the hover vehicle and such. Just seemed like...
And the robots protecting the place?
Yeah. Just a little bit like, really? I don't know. It made me felt a little bit more disjointed with the world. And I'm like, is it because they have a bigger budget? They can like, oh, we can throw in more 50 more characters into the background just to show that, yeah, this is a thriving metropolis. I guess that would be my biggest thing. I guess it's not so bad.
Yeah, I think the only thing that was kind of the biggest disappointishment for me was the big surprise. They kept trying to keep it secret. Everybody guessed about five minutes into the movie, give or take. Well, not 5 minutes. That's an exaggeration.
Well, basically the character standing by the poster, I'm like, yeah, I know what's going on here, and yeah, I was right. I guess that was that. There's no surprises in this plot. If you figure it out, you know what we're talking about. Just watch for the character by a poster. You'll get it then. That's when I'm like, yeah, this is how, and this is exactly how it panned out. I was like, okay. I guess this is not a cerebral type of movie. It was enjoyable. There's little things that the characters do and act and say that, you know, is a nice reminiscence of the TV series, and you're like, ah, good times.
The bar scene, for one, is great.
Yes. It just makes you laugh with all the tongue-in-cheek stuff and what's going on, because you know.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that people who've seen the series will probably get a little bit more enjoyment because they know kind of all these little in-jokes and backstories and things. And so if you go in there without knowing, you might miss out on some stuff. But all you have to do is just pop in the series, which I think is still streaming on Netflix.
It is.
If you don't own it, you can watch it there. And even if you want to own it, I don't think it's that expensive anymore. Let's see, complete box set off of Amazon. Oh, that's the old one. The new one is $22. That's right, people, $22. I paid over $100. Now you get the whole series for $22.
Hey, the Blu-ray's going to be $20.
Yeah, Blu-ray, $18.99, and DVD, $15. When do they come out? So we're talking about it. September 27th. Which isn't that far away.
Month and a half.
Yeah.
I wonder if Funimation will have early copies of it at NDK.
They quite possibly could. Didn't they have extra copies? Well, Hatalia.
They had Hatalia like a week early.
It was only a week.
But this is a pretty big one. We might get lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's only 2 weeks early.
Yeah. I guess we will have to see what happens. And I'll have to sit back in on Funimation's panel, because they usually have some pretty good information.
You think Smarmy Guy will be there again?
Smarmy Guy is going to be at any convention. There always has to be Smarmy Guy, because that's just how it is.
Well, I'm just wondering if it will be that particular Smarmy Guy again.
Don't know. Speaking of releases, Spice and Wolf Season 2, if you've ever watched Season 1, Season 2 is coming out. Great! Ah, they pushed back the release date. It was supposed to come out this past Tuesday, but
August 30th.
But I rather enjoy this series because it's not all, like, mecha or...
Wasn't this what Shmarmy Guy was asking about?
I think at some point, yes.
I think at some point, yes. But no, it was the original Birdie.
Oh, that's right.
The original Birdie.
Anywho, moving on.
Don't be that guy.
Excuse me. When are you going to be rejoicing this stuff? Blah, 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 blah. Something like that thing?
Yeah.
Why did you redo this instead of releasing the original? I know you're going to be releasing the original. And why aren't you doing the original? Because it was so much better than what you remade.
It's like, oh,
yeah. Anywho, moving on to video from animated video games, Diablo 3. I talked about the auction house being able to buy items for real money, and Zelda Queen nicely expanded on my thoughts, where I was more sensationalistic about it. She was much more down to earth.
Well, I found the DiabloFans.com website. They had a really good post kind of explaining it in a little bit more detail. And I was like, okay, I see how things work. And it's not, like, extremely prohibitive. I'm like, oh, great. I don't want to spend real money. I'm like, I'm already strapped for cash sometimes as it is. Homeownership will do that to you.
I'm just still worried about that one person that believes they're going to be able to make a living by selling items through Diablo 3 because they heard that so-and-so from such-and-such can do it. And then they end up losing their home over it.
I don't think it'll be that bad. There will be some people that will try doing that. It's inevitable. But it's not even much different than, you know, hearing people who used to do it for Diablo 2, where they would spend, you know, extra time either raising up characters. And then one guy, that's what he did. He would basically play the game, make high-level characters, and sell them off to, you know, these business guys who don't have the time to do it and just want to blow through the game. Which is in total a violation of all of your
EULA.
Yeah, your user license agreements and such, which I think Blizzard's trying to kind of curb that and say, okay, we're going to let you do certain things, but we're going to watch you do it and sanction it and, you know, say these are the rules for it.
And this way you don't have to give your account information to some shitty third-party people.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that. And your character wakes up in a dark alley all naked. And your bank is emptied out. And if you have Guild Bank Patrol, it's emptied out as well. And you're like, stuck.
If you're lucky, they'll leave you with your fishing pole. I actually had a buddy. He did get hacked, but they were kind enough to leave him his fishing pole.
I don't
like
think
his basic one or a fancy one?
Basic. He was only level 40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's not prohibitive if you don't want to spend money. Because supposedly, the gold that drops in game is supposed to have a real-life monetary value to it. What the ratio is, no one knows yet. Blizzard hasn't given anything official.
Well, and I mean, it could even be just, you know, market. Like, you can put up a lot of gold for sale on the real money auction house. And whatever someone's willing to pay for it is what it's worth.
Yeah. And then you can use it, but it doesn't translate directly to real cash as far as the numbers are tied to your account, which is why I called it the e-currency. So basically, if you want to buy something and you have no, you want to use cash, you basically charge your credit card X amount of dollars, and then you can use those X amount of e-currency dollars to bid on something. The thing that becomes more interesting is when you sell it, because if you sell an item, Blizzard will take a cut off the top, which isn't any really different from the gold auction house where you put something up and the auction house, you know, takes that 10% cut.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard will basically do that. They are just not saying what the fee is yet. And if you set up your account to get real money, the third party is what charges it back to your credit card, and they take a percentage of it as well. So you get kind of dinged twice, one from Blizzard and one from the credit card company, but then you can earn real money back charged to your credit card, which doesn't translate to cash in hand because it's getting charged to your credit card. So if you charge something to your card, you're getting it paid for.
Or if you still have your World of Warcraft subscription, you can just pay through it with it through the Diablo 3 auction house.
Well, that's what you can do with the currency thing, is if you can use it to not only to buy items and such in Diablo, you can also use it to apply to your WoW subscription and all that other sort of fun jazz.
And I'm sure to buy any piece of software from Blizzard.
And other merchandise.
Yeah, you can also, in theory, you could buy the plush Wavrin from Blizzard with money gotten through their auction house.
Yes. At least that's kind of what they're speculating at this point. And supposedly, too, they're going to give you like a few like free selling options. So if you decide you want to sell something, you can use one of your freebies so you don't get charged the selling fee from Blizzard. And as long as you're not, you know, getting the money directly sent to you back through your credit card and getting it to the e-currency account, you don't lose anything. And then you get e-currency money that you can in turn use to buy something that you want off the auction house without ever having to spend a single penny.
It'll be interesting to see how it actually works out.
Yeah.
I think G4TV was talking about, so, have you thought about the money laundering issue? Yes, and we're going to figure that one out.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it'll be in, there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not going to buy this game. Well, how dare they bring real money into it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
real money was brought into it a long time ago. It was just done through www.buymyshit.com.
Yeah, that's what I'm just like, it's already been there. It's just now that Blizzard is like, we want a piece of this pie. It's not like the pie didn't exist before. It's not some new magical, mystical pie. It's always been there. It's just now we want our cut.
Technically, yeah, you could also just look at it like they're mixing the free-to-play model in with a full-priced game. Because free-to-play games, you can buy different objects from them for real money that can be usually convenience items for your character.
Yeah, as long as it's not like I can spend $100 and buy this Uber staff of Uberness and, you know, kill everybody else and bruise through the game. I mean, as long as we don't have balance issue things like that, I'm okay with it. Because I don't have to participate unless I want to.
Exactly. Let's see, then there was also the thing on no skill points. No skill points for you!
Yeah, I need to read that post a little bit more closely. But basically, yeah, we're not supposed to have skill points in Diablo 3. We're supposed to have a little bit more active-passive abilities that I don't know how you pick or assign things. But they basically don't want it to be, oh, I'm Frozen Orb Sorceress, and so is everybody else who plays a sorceress.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you kind of pick which active and passive skills that you have, but you can't really rank them up. All you can do is, you know, they just basically increase as you level.
And then there's the whole thing, too, with the orbs. I don't know if you guys have seen yet still what The orbs supposedly can do with different powers. The runic and vision system.
I have not looked at anything on orbs or runes. Honestly, I have not looked at a whole lot on Diablo 3. I probably should go to the side and it's like, okay, so what's this do? What's this do? What's
this do? I do recommend going and seeing the runic stuff directly on Diablo 3's site from Blizzard, because they have like animations, and basically it shows like if you're a wizard and you're using the crimson thing with this ability, this is what it does. And if you have the same ability and you equip it with one of the other orbs, it changes it in some fashion. Like, one of the ice abilities for the wizard, like, changed, like, either how long the duration lasts, if it did other secondary effects, like rooted things in place longer, or had more damaging attack, or changed it into, like, a frost wizard around you instead of a straight, like, sort of beam attack. I'm like, well, that's interesting, because it gives a lot more customability. We'll see how much customability people do.
You know, the sad thing is, regardless of how hard Blizzard tries, there's always going to be the one spec that people will find gives them 0.1 DPS more than the other specs. And that'll be the one 90% of people go with.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, and then let's see. I've been playing Infamous 2. I borrowed it from the gentleman that did the review for us. And it is a pretty enjoyable game. I'm doing a little different than he did. He went evil, I'm going good. And one of the things he complained about was the people will sometimes try and help you fight the enemies. And that annoyed him because he would constantly kill civilians. Well, as a good character, one of your default powers actually makes it so civilians take almost no damage from your abilities. So the only reason that was a problem for him was because he was playing an evil character. So I found that kind of entertaining. And one thing he also never mentioned was the name of one of the electronics stores. This is just funny to me. It's Red Ring Electronics.
Oh, that's some tongue-in-cheek right there.
For those of you who are not aware, Infamous 2 is a PS3-only system, and the company that actually made it, Sucker Punch, was just recently acquired officially by Sony. So the fact that Red Ring Electronics, complete with logo of a circle with a red dot in the center and then four little lights around it that constantly change to only three of them being lit.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty entertaining when I first saw that.
Pretty bad ribbon game there.
And yeah, but I'm enjoying the game overall. I like how easy it is to switch up what kind of how your attacks are being used. For example, the regular lightning attack has your regular attack. A attack where it'll split into three and then go back and hit the target you're shooting at. It could have a more powerful direct shot, a ranged shot, or a machine gun shot. Currently I'm using the machine gun one because it's just handy. And then same thing with the different missiles and, the closest I can call it is a force push. He basically goes and stuff flies out. And you can have one where it either it's much smaller, hits a person, stays stuck to them, and eventually explodes, or it's a little larger and it causes the gravity around them, the gravity to kind of null for a little bit, so they just kind of float away, which is very handy on a roof because it'll just start. It's like push.
Oh,
there's no ground now. Also makes it really easy to shoot them. Anywho, but yeah, I'm really enjoying the game. It's a lot of fun. I'm just a little under a third of the way through the game.
I'm going to borrow Catherine, I think, for my brother. He finished it. Under 12 hours, he's already finished it. He did it on the easiest mode.
That doesn't surprise me. It's Irish pride.
That's what he does. Play games.
Now, if only he would review more of them.
Yes, he's at least keeping up with his conversation. His last conversation was odd.
I need to read, what was it, number 5?
Number 4 is a little bit odd. It has nothing really much to do with games, just about random observations.
I'll have to read it. I did enjoy his thing about how NCAA 2012. Look, 3D grass.
Yeah, I was there when he was doing his demo review of it. And it's just like, really, like, yeah. He goes, I will stick with 2011 because
this is the great technological leap forward.
3D grass. Well, you can't do much more with the players. I mean, like, the crowd all has, like, individual faces practically now, and there's individual movements. You can see, like, the cheerleaders doing stuff, and, like, you've seen like the Texas like longhorns, and so they're out there with like their longhorn cow, and the cow breaks realism because the cow looks super real. The texture on it is awesome. But the people aren't quite there, some of the texturing and such, so it kind of breaks it a little bit. But it's like, there's all the pageantry and all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, I remember we used to play NHL 96 for Super Nintendo. It's come a long way.
Yeah.
But crowd and all that stuff doesn't sell me. And he's like, well, they, you know, improved how you pick plays and how you see the plays and do the plays and all that sort of stuff and customize your team and stuff. But he goes, you can't really do much anymore. It's kind of reached its zenith. We're starting to hit the plateau here, people.
It's like, so the big change is the players now.
Yeah.
The roster.
The roster.
Which at least now they can start working on the official NFL game.
Yeah.
I guess the only game we've been playing is
Kingdom Rush.
Kingdom Rush. It's a free-to-play game on Armor Games. Which does, like, Jim Craft and Sushi Cat. I've been playing a lot with Sushi Cat. Mostly because it's cute, and I like watching the kitty eat sushi, and it makes me hungry, and then I gotta stop now. I'll stop now. But Kingdom Rush is basically a tower defense game set in fantasy medieval times. The animation's cute. At least I think it's cute.
Do you notice how many indie games are tower defense games at their core?
It's a kind of easy format of game to do.
Yeah, I don't think it takes probably as much time to sort of develop. And it's kind of just fun because it's the right sort of like challenge and frustration to get through certain stages because of the different types of mobs that like to come. And this one has like interesting mobs. It has interesting upgrades for a lot of the towers. And it's not just like you get shoehorned into one upgrade only. They have like a couple different ones.
Yeah,
and
like,
then there's additional abilities you can buy for things because you basically have to have gold in order to buy other abilities, and you can have, like, one thing I think is kind of interesting, you can summon reinforcements. So every 2 seconds you can summon reinforcements at lower levels, they're little farmers, but if you can spend points that you win for completing other maps, you can beef them up into, like, conscripts, and then into warriors, and then into legionnaires and such. But you can also spend those points to, you know, upgrade
make your towers better.
Your towers. And they have, like,
Archery
towers.
Barracks,
which basically has soldiers that can hold things down.
Mage towers,
and artillery. The artillery ones are really fun to get beefed up to the max, and then to buy them to things. They bleep out stuff because they're cussing. It's very fun. Because they're dwarves. That's what dwarves do. But yeah, if you want a free tower defense game to play, Armor Games, Kingdom Rush, I enjoy playing it. I'm going back through and doing all the challenging things.
Okay.
Like elite waves and you can't use this tower and that sort of thing.
Those ones are hard.
You have to think.
Okay. Well, I think with that, we'll call it a day. Go ahead and visit thegameslave.com where you can comment on our posts. You can also send us mail to mail@thegameslave.com or you can check out our store from the store link on our website. In the meantime, feel free to have a good day, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!